Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code With Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and today's episode is about two main topics, gender diversity and inclusion in the workplace, and data engineering. But first, a quick word about a free resource I put together to help you make money while learning to code. Wouldn't it be great if you could get paid to learn how to code? Even if you're a total beginner just starting out on your own Learn to Code journey? Well, I'm here to tell you that you can do this. My free ebook, 28 Ways to Earn a Side Income While Learning How to Code, walks you through 28 different side gigs you can do to turn your tech skills into dollars, even if you're just starting out. You can download it for free over at learntocodewith.me/sidegig today. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/sidegig. Hey, listeners. In today's episode, I talk with Jen Clevenger. Jen is Etsy's data engineering director. Her team is completely women-led and 33% female. So she's a great person to talk to about gender diversity and inclusion in tech, because let me tell you, most data teams or data engineering teams do not have those kinds of demographic numbers. In our conversation, we talk about job hunting while you're pregnant, what it takes to create an inclusive workplace, and how to identify inclusive companies to work for, plus what data engineering is and how to gain data engineering skills. I really enjoyed speaking to Jen, and I hope you enjoy listening to her. Hey, Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So to get things going, I would love if you could tell us a bit about your journey in tech and your background and how you came to be the data engineering director at Etsy.
Yeah, sure. I actually started my career in finance. I used to write financial services software internally for internal users. And I spent many of my beginning years in my career working kind of in larger corporate companies. That was my experience. And I was kind of looking for a change. I'm dating myself here, but I moved to New York when I first graduated from university a long time ago, before when the only tech jobs here, or, you know, the majority of them were in finance. And one day I feel like I kind of picked up my head and looked around, and New York had become kind of a hub for smaller startups and tech companies of a medium size, kind of more like the flavor of the West Coast in the past. And it really, really interested me. But for me, it was really hard to get companies outside of fintech to look at my resume, outside of, you know, finance and technology type companies to look at my resume. So I kind of had to go through a lot of reinventing myself. I went to a lot of meetups. I spent a lot of time kind of exploring the different types of companies and different spaces that had popped up, in this area. And I saw Etsy. Etsy showed up in my search, and I was really, really interested in it as a company. And I actually applied to Etsy twice. The first time I didn't get the job when I applied here, I was super disappointed. I really, really wanted to work here. I did things like I spent a really long time making a fully illustrated version of my cover letter to try and get someone's attention. I did a lot of research on Etsy online, read the blog, watched a lot of people's talks. I didn't get that first job. I took another job, in fintech. and it wasn't until almost a year later that Etsy called me back. The then head of data engineering had been on my interview panel in my first interview and really liked me. And he remembered me when a job opened on his team, on the data engineering team. But as things go, I had kind of already taken another job, and then I was also super newly pregnant with my second kid, so it really wasn't the best timing in the world. But because Etsy was, the company that I had just wanted to work for, so badly. I talked to my husband about it, and he's like, you know, you don't have anything to lose. You should go and talk to this person and check out this opportunity. And I did. And kind of like long story short, I was hired. I started at Etsy when I was super duper pregnant. I think I was 7 or 8 months pregnant, and it's the best decision that I've ever made. This is the best job I've had. So I was super happy that it kind of played out that way, but it wasn't a very straight road to get here for sure.
Wow. I love that. I love that. Like, it's just so interesting how life can have all of these, what seem like curveballs or, you know, oh, this is really bad timing and da, 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 da. And then things just ended up working out like exactly as they should. So that's really great that you, cause I can't even imagine starting a new job being 7 or 8 months pregnant, as you said. That must be like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really interesting experience. I mean, even, I know for a lot of women who are pregnant, it's really hard to be switching jobs in that time, or even to get people to look at your resume or talk to you, or, you know, cause I know a lot of the times people, you think short term, you know, and when I interviewed here, one of the things, that my then boss and hiring manager said to me when I told him that I was pregnant, was, you know, Jen, this is a, like, we're looking at long-term opportunities here. We're hiring for the long-term. This, the, you know, the fact that you're pregnant right now doesn't really mean anything in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's awesome. It just says so much too about, I think, Etsy's values. And I mean, of course, like a woman should be able to switch and get a new job when she's pregnant. But I think it's funny, when I first made that comment, I was thinking from like my own end, like psychologically, like as I was pregnant and making this other switch while I like a career switch while I was also bringing, a new family member into the picture. But yeah, I think on both ends, it could also be worried about what the company's thinking, you know, what you're thinking with your own journey, all that. Anyhow, I'm glad that all ended up working out. And I'm just curious, like, how long ago was this? How long have you been at Etsy for now?
I've been here almost 4 years.
Okay, awesome. So what was your first position like there? Because you're data engineering director now, but was it always that way?
No, I was hired by who was the person who at the time was the person that ran all of data engineering. And he hired me to manage a small team on data engineering that didn't have a name at the time. It was actually one full-time employee and one intern from U Waterloo in Canada, which is also where I'm from. And the team was kind of like the business insights arm of data engineering. So I started small on data eng.
Nice. So I probably should have asked this question before I asked the last one. So a lot of our listeners are in the early stages of their tech career journey, you know, a few months in, some in, you know, a few years in. Could you just explain to us like what data engineering is?
Yeah, of course. I guess a super simple explanation is that a data engineer is an engineer whose primary responsibility is building systems to ingest, store, and prepare very large amounts of data for analytical use, algorithmic use, machine learning, operational, finance, reporting, basically all of your internal customers that may want to do anything with your offline data. And this kind of includes things like building large-scale data processing systems, technologies like Hadoop, Spark, running distributed data warehousing solutions like Vertica, which is what we have here at Etsy, Redshift, Snowflake. There's a whole slew of things that kind of roll up under data engineering, but the one commonality is large amounts of data.
Yeah. And we've had guests on the show in the past that have talked about data science, data analytics, and other areas. I'm trying to recall, we've had, you know, we've been doing this show for years now. So I think even data visualization. What, like in like the data landscape, where does data engineering sort of fit in between some of these other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I think it depends company by company, but broad strokes, you can think of data science, analytics, data UX, all of those things as customers or stakeholders of the foundational data engineering team. So If you think about, let's use data science, popular example. Lots of people are talking about data science these days, both from the machine learning perspective or analytics perspective. Data scientists take data and they use them as inputs for modeling or analysis, what have you. But that data needs to come from somewhere. Someone needs to be in charge of ingesting that data, you know, storing it somewhere, making it accessible, operating or creating systems that make it easy to understand and pull the data out. You can think of it, you know, people say data lake. You can think about, the sheer amount of data that especially, like, for example, Etsy, like an e-commerce company, is gathering on a day-to-day basis. All of that data has to go somewhere in a semi-organized way. Otherwise, it's just kind of like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And you don't have to give like exact numbers or anything, because you may not even, I know, like you may not even be fully aware, but like at the data team at Etsy, the data engineering team, how big is it compared to maybe some of the other engineering teams?
That's a totally valid question. Our data eng team is about 30 people. And our overall engineering body is about 300 or 400.
So that makes a lot of sense. Cause I was like, you know, depending on what the other number is, I was like, that sounds like a lot, like 30. Cause I was working at a pretty small startup, about a year ago, and we only had one data engineer, but you know, the company only like 90 people. So 30 out of, like you said, 300 to 400 or something.
Yeah. I think engineers. That's one of the things that's really interesting about this space is you're absolutely right in that the size or needs of the company can make space for any size of data engineering organization. I went to a dinner once for like an engineering leadership dinner, and I was talking to a woman who was also a head of a data engineering org, and her org was hundreds of people, and she was one of many heads of data engineering. So there are multiple data engineering branches, and each of them had hundreds of people, but her company was way, way bigger. And so it's a really interesting area to get into because it scales in such an interesting way.
That is so interesting. So with data engineering, though, you were working in fintech. You're working in finance before. Where did you learn these like data engineering skills? Were you traditionally taught like in university or a program, or were they something you learned on the job?
Yeah, that's a great question. And kind of it was what made it so hard for me to kind of break out of fintech. And the short answer to the question is I learned it on the job. My background was in technology, so I had the foundation to kind of understand engineering at a certain level. But everything specific about data engineering I learned here at Etsy. I have two thoughts there. One, there's something about the culture at Etsy that really promotes and supports learning and growth. In a way that I have not seen at other companies. So it, in my opinion, this is something that I tell people that apply for jobs here or who are looking at Etsy as an employer. Like if you're a person that wants to keep learning and expand the scope of the things that you know in an environment where you feel like you can ask as many questions as you want and not ever feel like you're asking a dumb question. You know, people always say like, oh, there's no such thing as a dumb question, but to actually exist in a culture where it really truly feels you can ask as many questions as you want and people are just so happy to answer those questions for you. That's what it feels like here. And I think part of the culture, that learning culture here and that like inclusive culture helped me to become way more successful in an area that I had previously no experience. I think that is really important.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Also to be hired from the outside, because I've interviewed people on the show and know lots of folks, as I'm sure you do, who will make like internal company moves or promotions, right? Well, they'll move from one team to another and next thing, you know, well, a few years later, they're now a software engineer and they originally were on customer support or something. But that's really awesome that you were able to come in from like another company in finance and then able to learn those skills. And now, you know, 4 years later, you're, still there and doing great things. That's really awesome. I'd love to know a bit about what your day-to-day looks like now.
Yeah. So, my day-to-day, I spend a good portion of my time in meetings. I spend a good amount of time trying to kind of like think strategically about what we as an organization or as a department or as a company can do better. And then I try and push those ideas forward. It's different from when I first started and I was kind of more of a day-to-day manager of the work. So the job has changed quite a bit. One of the things that I think we do really well here is we create very separate and specific career tracks for individual contributors or the engineers on the IC side, individual contributors. And also for management as a discipline. So a lot of places where I've worked before, you know, everything kind of ladders up into management. So you start as an associate or whatever it is, a contributor on the ground, and you work your way up. And eventually the only next step left is to become a manager of the team that you're working on. And I think what's hard about that is for people who are, you know, for example, engineers at heart and don't want to manage people or manage projects or be strategic or, you know, create organizations, shape organizations, it really creates a ceiling on the upward movement. So I love how Etsy has created, you know, like a clear path forward in terms of career trajectory and your own ability to make a difference and be successful in each individual track. So the reason I say that is because for me, you know, I feel like the career trajectory for a manager, for like an entry level manager to you know, senior manager to director to senior director, is very clear. And it differentiates my experience here versus other places. You know, before I kind of felt like when I was a manager of a team, my job was to tell people what to do and make sure projects get delivered. And here it's more about creating a healthy culture on the team and shaping the organization in a way that's the most effective and spending one-on-one time with your reports to make sure that they're supported and that they understand their career path and that they have opportunities and are continuing to grow. The one-on-one culture here is really, really strong, a lot stronger than anywhere that I've ever seen. And I've tried to honor that by making sure that, you know, you don't blow off one-on-ones if you're busy. You always make sure that you have them and have meaningful conversations. You always make sure you spend time, you know, at least once a quarter to not just talk about the day-to-day, but also talk about career growth and movement. And so, you know, that building relationships part of work is something that I really value. It's one of the best parts of my job. And I spend a lot of my time kind of thinking about the overall health of the organization and trying to build those relationships and an understanding in that way.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Technical side gigs have had a massive impact on my life. Shortly after I began learning to code, back in 2013, I landed a gig as an assistant to a more experienced web developer. That gig was my first step towards working as a freelancer later on. Even Learn to Code with Me, which is now my full-time job, began as a side project. I am so obsessed with side gigs because they are the perfect way to build up your experience and confidence as you transition into tech. Even more, they enable you to try out different aspects of tech before committing to a new career path in any particular direction. I really recommend them. Because I love side gigs so much, I put together a free ebook to help you start your technical side gig journey so you can earn extra money every single month while advancing your skills. Inside this free guide, you'll learn which skills you need for these 28 different side gigs, how much money you can make from each, plus tips on how to get started on whichever idea is speaking to you. You can get your copy completely free over at learntocodewith.me/sidegig. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/sidegig. Yeah. So for the listener, and we obviously mentioned this a few times, but you're in a director role now, right? So a lot of your work is, as you just said, is around creating the culture and the more of the strategy. I'm going to assume you're not in like the day-to-day working with, with maybe some of the technologies that you did when you were starting out because you're right managing the team and hiring and doing all those kinds of things, which I think segues into something I really wanted to get into while we were chatting today, just about like the work Etsy has done as far as diversity goes, because I read a stat, I'm looking in my notes trying to find it exactly. Oh, I don't want to misquote it, but it was something about the percentage of women. Oh, here it is. I think the 33% female women on the data engineering team or on the engineering team.
So it's actually 33% at the entire company in technology, which is really, really high. It's unheard of for tech. And for data eng, we're actually closer to 50%. And we also, believe it or not, and this is also crazy to me, we have an all-women management team on the data engineering team.
Wow. Yeah, that is because I don't know like the most recent stats on the top of my head, but I remember a few years back writing an article about, it could have been data science, but I imagine it's not too different. And they were saying there were like, it was like 90% men at that time that were in the world of data science. So yeah, that's really awesome that you have 50% on the data engineering team. So like, what kind of, how does that happen? Or like, how are, you know, and I know like every company is different and could be a whole episode topic in itself, but like, what have you done, I guess, to prioritize having these, you know, having numbers like such parity when it comes to this?
Yeah. I hesitate to answer the question, what have I done? Because it's not a thing that I have done on my own. I certainly support it. But I came into a culture that at Etsy that is constantly talking about, you know, gender and racial inequality in the workplace and fairness and transparency and diversity and inclusion is two separate things. Like those are conversations that happen all the time. It is a thing that I noticed as soon as I joined that was different from my previous experiences. Because like I said, I grew up in tech. I've been working in tech for a really long time. It is a very male dominated field. Just at the outside, there simply are not very many females to even choose from or to hire. So the pool is very shallow. And so I think what Etsy does really well, and I have happily been a part of that, is to make sure that we are talking about these issues every day and being thoughtful at every step of the process, not just hiring and recruiting. So, you know, how do we level the playing field in terms of the types of resumes that we can get in the door? How do we make sure that we're giving everyone a fair shake in terms of being able to, you know, come to the table and have a chance to interview? And then for the people that we have at Etsy, how do we make sure that we create an inclusive environment so that people don't feel the differences around them as kind of a forcing function, making them making them uncomfortable in some way. And like a perfect example is I can talk about my experience, you know. So I started my career in finance and technology, and those are both very, very male dominated fields. So my experience has always been, you know, since I graduated university, that I have felt a little bit out of my own skin, like that I've spent a lot of time trying to be a certain way because that is what I saw around me, and trying to create successes in a way that I saw success around me. It was just, I was a product of my environment. And I think something that is very, very different about Etsy is because Etsy has this long culture of, you know, supporting and creating a diverse and inclusive workplace. People can come here and look around and see. So for me, I came here and I looked around and I saw so many different paths to leadership in a way that I had never seen before. And it made me feel like I can just be my best self. Like I can be me and not try and be someone that I'm not, or not try and be, you know, I told you before, I was pregnant with my second kid. So I was already a mother. I had had this experience where, you know, I used to go to work and I tried not to talk about my kid or, you know, be too mom-like because I didn't want people to think that I wasn't really committed to my career and that I didn't really want success in the same way that other people did at work. And that was just a reality that I had embraced. Like, you know, it was a thing that I thought I would have to do, that the road would be harder, that, you know, it just would never be as natural for me as it was for the people that I saw around me. But at Etsy and at any company, if you can kind of foster this diversity of thought through diversity of humans that come in the door and create this inclusive environment where people can look around and see, hey, there are a million different paths that I can take to success. And I should be able to leverage the things that are best about me and lean on those things as hard as I can in order to create my own version of success. You know, I don't need to jam myself into a stereotype just because, you know, that's what I've seen out in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I would love to talk about the flip of that. So what can a person who is interviewing and looking for a new job in tech, right? Because most of the people listening to the show, that's, you know, they're looking for jobs in tech or will be at some point. What can they be on the lookout for to make sure the company they're interviewing with or applying to has a culture that is supportive and aligns with what they want?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love that you asked that question because it implies that people should demand it. And that, I think, is where it starts. People should demand that they can be in a workplace where they feel included. And some things that you should definitely, like, a very, very specific things you can ask about are, do you have programs to help support, you know, people of different backgrounds or different interests? So a concrete example, at Etsy, we have a pretty strong employee resource group program. We call them ERGs, employee resource groups. And anyone can form them. And you form them to create these bodies of support for the things that, you know, that speak to you. So for example, there's a parents ERG that I'm in. And so it gives you an outlet where you can speak to other people and have camaraderie and share stories and lean on each other to make sure that you have a strong support network. There is an Asian resource group. So I'm Korean. So, you know, for people who want to, the Asian resource group does a ton of food related outings, you know? And so it's just like a great time to get together and bond and meet other people who have similar experiences to yours in order to make it easy to be at work and be yourself and feel like you can embrace all of the different parts of yourself and bring your whole self to work.
Yeah, that's a really great example. And so for people, there's a lot of folks listening who have families or are starting a family soon, or again, have families already, because a lot of the listeners are a bit later in their career. What kinds of things can they look for when interviewing that, just to be on the lookout for if they're supportive of like parents?
Yeah. I mean, definitely ask about the parental leave policy. So even just asking about it will give you a signal about how the company feels about it. So for example, when I first applied here, you know, by law, you don't have to disclose if you're pregnant, if you're applying for a job. I did by choice because I wanted to see what the reaction would be, you know, if I said, cause I already had a job. So I was leaving a place and I was super pregnant. So if I was going to go somewhere else, they'd better be a place that will support me as a pregnant person. So I told my boss when we were interviewing, or my not yet boss, that I was pregnant, just kind of to poke and test the water to see what they would say. And he said, you know, he said all of the right things. Like I said before, he said, you know, this is not a short-term bet. We're hiring for the long-term. This absolutely doesn't matter to me. It doesn't change anything. Just in case it changes anything for anyone else, you know, up the chain as I'm getting approval for this hire, I don't think it will, but I'm just not going to tell them because it doesn't matter. And that answer to me just kind of like lifted an entire weight off my shoulder and told me, I know this is a company and this is a boss, like this person who I will be working for. Like he is subscribing to the right types of, thoughts when it comes to like balancing work and life. And I think it's not like parents disproportionately have that pull outside of work, but being a parent just means you have something outside of work that is also really important. And everybody has something outside of work that is also important, you know? And so I think kind of asking questions about, for parents specifically, what is the parental leave policy? You know, if I have to work remotely every once in a while because I have this or that commitment, like we should be unafraid to ask these questions. And the reason I say that is because I have always felt guilty about asking them, but we shouldn't feel guilty. Everyone has something outside of work that they like or do, you know, a hobby, belong to a band, have an aging parent, have a brother or sister they take care of, a friend who's very needy, or just your own self-care. Like, people should be allowed to exist outside of work 100% and exist at work 100% and still be considered, you know, a successful person.
Yes. So as you were talking, I was putting myself in the shoes of someone who was interviewing, and especially if I was like new to tech and maybe like, you know, just felt a lot of pressure about getting my first job. And I was like, I would be so scared to ask about even if I wasn't planning on having kids soon, or I just was curious. Cause it's like, you know, how do you kind of bring that up? Like, I don't know if you have any tips, like maybe you've seen people ask in a really good way before, cause I'm sure you interview a lot of people I just want to also add that I feel like so many companies now publish this stuff publicly online. Like, I haven't checked, but I would not be shocked, right, if Etsy has like their culture handbook or whatever the word is, like, available online, which may even cover some of these topics.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I remember being in that position so many times, like needing the job more than the job needed me, you know, that feeling as you're interviewing. And that's hard. It's really hard. So to answer your question, like, how do you go about asking those questions in a way that feel good? And I love your suggestion, which is you lean on what the company says they do, because you're right. A lot of companies are publishing, you know, best place for working moms, great number, like top 10 diversity and inclusion in diversity magazine. I'm just making those up, but you know, it is a thing that people use as recruiting fodder to get people in the door. And so I encourage people to absolutely lean on those things. We should be holding companies, accountable for the things that they are saying that they do well. And I've worked, you know, I haven't worked in a million companies, but I've worked at a few, and all of them had something like that, that they were proud about, but I hadn't seen it implemented, you know, quite so where it like permeated everything in the culture in the way that it does here. And so if you ask about it in the interview, ask about it in the context of what the company has actually said in public that they do well. And I think that's a good way to kind of like bring it up and show that you're interested in the company and show that you've kind of researched the culture. And then you can tell from the answer back, like how passionate the person or the people are who give you an answer to those questions about whether or not, you know, that we are walking the walk or just talking the talk.
Yeah. So you've been working in tech for, you know, a good amount of time now. And just from the time I've even been in tech, which has been since like 2013, I've noticed on my own, like different changes to the landscape as far as like diversity and inclusivity goes. I'm just curious, like, what have you noticed over the years? Yeah, how this has changed, like if you think it's changed at all?
Yeah, I have. It's been super interesting to me. And I've been in tech probably, over 15 years, if you count school. The change has been super interesting. It's my perspective is probably a little bit colored from the fact that I started in finance, in tech. So like very, you know, I'm very skewed, I think. But I think that like more women and all minorities for that matter are talking more openly about things like creating equality in the workplace, about things that don't seem fair that might not have been obvious before, you know, conversations about how to level the playing field. And something new that I've never experienced before is our advocates, like having male advocates. When I first started at Etsy, you know, like I said, one of my first experiences was wow, everyone here is kind of talking about this notion of, you know, leveling the playing field and trying to make it fair and creating more equality, both gender and racial in the workplace. Interesting. And then, you know, one day I found myself in a meeting with two other males, and they were kind of trying to explain to me and convince me the benefits of, you know, explicit sponsorship for women to help them to get to more senior levels and mentorship and creating programs and what can we do more. And that to me was a huge change. You know, it's exhausting having to constantly be a person that advocates for your own cause, you know, women for women and, you know, minority for your own minority. And it's refreshing to exist in a place where everyone is trying to raise the floor together. And it feels like that is a thing that is happening more today. This awareness is bringing more and more advocates on board. Whereas before it kind of felt more like a, at least for me, like a solo game.
Yeah. And I can imagine, just thinking about working in, you know, finance and technology, and then, you know, now working at Etsy, where the numbers you shared are really impressive, like how it must feel to be around, you know, so many other women and so many other minorities in tech. And that's like the kind of thing that I feel like I noticed the most, even though now I'm not even working full time anymore at like a tech company. But it's like when I first started out, I remember feeling more alone. And now I feel like I see more people like me around me, even if it's just like on social media or something. I feel like there's more people. And exactly as you said, with the conversation, like, it feels like there's just so many more open conversations. And a lot of what I'm seeing, again, is online, but, you know, still counts for something, on blogs and podcasts and what have you, that are talking about these kind of things.
Yeah. And like, I will say, you know, I mentioned earlier that we have an all women leadership team on Data Eng. And I've been thinking a lot about this, like, what is it at Etsy that we're doing so differently and so well that is creating, you know, this great culture? And I asked these three women, you know, what is it about being on an all-women leadership team that is the most impactful to you? And they all unanimously, you know, kind of turned to me and said, you know, the thing that's the most notable about it at Etsy is how completely unnotable it is. You know, no one talks about it. People aren't pointing their finger at our team and saying like, oh, that's weird. How did that happen? Like, it's just, you know, one of the managers was like, I'm not a women leader. I'm just a leader of this team and I'm just doing my job. And that is super refreshing to just be able to concentrate on the work and not have to constantly be like the mental weight and energy of having to carry this other thing. You know, it disappears if you have such a diverse landscape that there's literally nothing to point at anymore. Like, I'm not saying that we're there. We still have a lot of work to do, but, you know, I'm starting to see little snippets of it and it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a really great place to wrap things up. Thank you again, Jen, for coming on the show. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, sure. Probably the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, Jen Clevenger.
Okay, perfect. We'll include a link to that in the show notes and anything else we talked about today. Again, all the show notes, links to all that. Thank you again for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
If you liked today's show, I would really appreciate it if you left a rating and review on iTunes or whichever podcast player you're tuning in on. Ratings are extremely helpful when it comes to a show's rankings. And by leaving a review, you would be helping me reach more listeners and spread valuable knowledge about breaking into the tech industry. To leave a review on iTunes, go to learntocodewith.me/iTunes. That'll take you straight to the iTunes page, and right there you can leave a rating and review. Thank you so much for supporting the show.